Good morning. It is good to be here this morning. We had a wonderful week last week. It was wonderful to see so many visitors, so many family from so many of our members. And God bless you if you made that effort to go out there and invite and to bring someone last week. I think we had a good service, had a lot of good feedback. And, of course, we had a new brother in Christ. And so it was a great Sunday, as every Sunday is. It's always good to be here, God's family, and to worship God. Now, I want us to understand, not to think that somehow Friends and Family Day is a one-day-a-year thing. While we may, you know, do some things specifically on that day, every Sunday is a possibility for a friend or a family day, for you to bring your friends, to bring your family. They may see what the Church of the Lord is like, that they may hear the truth of the gospel and hopefully be given that opportunity to obey that gospel. And so please continue that. Do not make it a one-time effort, but a daily walk of life. All of us have heard at one time or another, and it's, you know, some old worn-out phrase of some kind. There's all kinds, but we've heard the one, there is no I in team, right? And of course, it's old and worn out for a reason. Coaches use this as a mantra in order to get their players to take focus off of themselves and to place it squarely on the team. To think about the unit, the group as a whole, and not to be just out there doing their own thing for themselves. You know, anyone who's ever been a part of a team knows that success cannot occur if personal egos take precedent over the team goals. You know, if you played any ball whatsoever, you may have come across, you know, in basketball, that guy that won't ever pass it, right? He's a ball hog. He thinks he can dribble out, dribble everybody, and he won't ever pass. He won't ever give up the ball, and most of the time he causes you to lose. Or, you know, some other person that brings their ego onto the field just is corrosive with how they think they should be given the ball every time or something. We understand this. We've probably seen this not only in sports, but we've probably seen this in the business world, in our occupations. We've seen people that are more about themselves than the good of the company that we may work for. But every team member must become selfless for the sake of achieving the goal. Each individual must work together as a unit in order to have success. And in fact, you've probably seen the acronym TEAM on a t-shirt that says, "Together everyone achieves more." Teamwork is crucial. It's crucial to meeting goals, and certainly this applies to the church as well. But while it may be grammatically correct that there is no I in team, I grant that. I know I'm from Mississippi, but I can spell. There is no I in team. I know you probably saw my sermon title and said, "He has just lost it." Well, that's grammatically correct. Physically, I don't think it is. The church is a team, and even more than that, we are a family. And a family requires that all the I's work together. Work together for the strength of that family. You know, we each individually have a responsibility to fulfill in order for the Lord's church to be all that it can here at Cary. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verses 11 through 13, Paul said, "And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we had all attained to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Paul wrote directly to the church at Ephesus and indirectly to us today to emphasize the great central truth of God's plan to have all people, regardless of race, ethnicity, gender, or social status, to come together as children of God, as Christians, to be one body with one purpose and one God. He wrote about the vital importance of the oneness of being united to the head of the church, which is Christ, and how being united to the head means that we are united to one another as well. You know, the church is a team of Christians, united in a common purpose, and that common purpose is to save souls. That's our common purpose. As we seek to be what Christ was, as we seek His purpose, which was to seek and to save that which was lost. And within this team, within this fellowship of believers, there is an individuality that cannot be ignored. It is a fact, in order for a team to reach higher and accomplish its goal, each team member must function properly. See, there is an I. There is something for me to do, for I to do. And I know that's not proper English, so English teachers, be careful. I'm using it, carrying the I through. That singular purpose, that I understand that I'm a part of something bigger, and I'm going to do my best to be everything that I can be for that family, for that team. You know, the church is made up of saved individuals who must know their role and carry it out effectively in order to ensure the team's success. There are different functions among the members, but all of them unite to form one body, one purpose. That purpose is in God. And while there is diversity in things that do not matter, things that are not spiritual, there is diversity in our talents, but it's all contributed to our unity. You know, I do not have the talent to sing like Kurt or any of our song leaders. I do not have that talent. I know that, and if you heard me sing, you'd agree. You know, there are people here with great talents in different areas, and you know, those talents, that those people need to be looking to use those talents for the Lord. Lord didn't give you those talents for you. He gave you those talents for Him, that you would use them to serve Him. Too often, though, we take our talents and we hoard them up, don't we? Oh, that's mine. I can do really well in the world with that. God gave it to you for Him. Not so you could be successful in the business world or successful in some other occupation or receive accolades for some particular thing. Paul writes, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 through 18. He's actually talking about spiritual gifts in the context, but it's the teaching still applies to us in regards to the differences of our talents. He says, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, 'Because I am not a hand, I'm not a part of the body,' it's not for this reason any the less a part of the body. And if the ear says, 'Because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body,' it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He desired." You know, sometimes we suffer from comparisonitis, and that actually ruptures this unity and this team, is when I begin to compare my talent with yours. Why don't I have what he can do? Why can't I do what he does? Why are they not asking me to? You know, instead of just knowing what I can do and doing that to the very best of my ability, I'm too worried about what everybody else can do that I can't make. And we don't need to suffer from that, but we need to understand that we have a part to play. Now, if all everybody could do was just sing, then where would the preaching come from, right? Or where would other aspects, leadership and other things come from in the Lord's church? Everybody has to bring their particular abilities that God has given to them to bear in the church. There is an I in team, because there is a personal responsibility that each and every one of us has to the welfare and the well-being of it. The church is a group of ones. It is a group of eyes. Each eye in this church team must find their place and role in order to strengthen the church as a whole. I want us to think about that first this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, when we go back there, that we fill our roles, it says, "And He gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ." We all have something to do. We all have something to be. We may be an ear, we may be an eye, we may be a finger, we may be a hand, we may be a foot, whatever. List all the body parts. I can't. I wasn't that good in biology, but, you know, list them. You're something. You're one of them, and it serves a vital part. There is no such thing, as scientists have said, as a vestigial organ, especially not in the Lord's church, right? One of those that has no use. It amazes me how that number keeps going down. They're so sure, but that number has gone down from back in the 50s to what? It was 60 or so, now down to hardly any. have a use. You have a use. No matter your age, no matter your number of talents that you may have, or, you know, you may just have one. Whatever. It is there for you to use for the glory of God. You know, and not, you know, as going away from speaking in metaphors of fingers and hands and feet, you know, the church needs teachers. I have yet to ever know a person over education, Brother Gene, Brother Calvin, Brother Durham. I have yet to find anybody over the education department that ever said, I got too many teachers. I can't get them all worked in. I have yet to find them. Wouldn't that be great if Cary was the first place that ever was said? As we stepped up, did the hard work of being teachers of the Lord's church. Church needs song leaders. The church needs encouragers, doesn't it? It needs workers. There are people, going back to encouragers, there are people out there that it is natural. They have the personality for it. It just flows from them. Encouragement is just like breathing to them. And they need to bring that to bear. Other people, it's harder. It's harder for some people to know what to say. And you know, God understands that we all have different abilities, different talents. He expects us to use what we have, though. But we need workers. We need organizers. We need people who will evangelize the lost. Fulfill the Great Commission. We all have that responsibility to function within that command in some way. We need people who can visit and will visit the sick. People who will mourn with those who have lost. People who will bring the experience they have in overcoming some temptation in their life, having overcome it, to bring that experience to those that may be suffering from that same temptation right now. We've all overcome things in our lives. And there very well may be someone sitting around you this morning that's struggling with the same thing that you've already beat. Maybe you have a word of wisdom for them. But you've got to be plugged into the family. You've got to be engaging yourself in the people in this family in order to know what those things may be. Each of us have talents and personalities that determine areas of service in which we are the strongest. And we need to utilize those things. Think about the early Christians. Barnabas, encourager, right? Just naturally. Son of encouragement. I mean, here he is. Nobody wants to talk to this man named Saul who claims he's now a Christian, even though he was killing him not too long ago. Nobody wants to talk to him. He goes to him and he encourages and brings him in to meet the other members of the church leadership. It is him, after John Mark leaves on the first missionary journey, Paul says, I have no more use for him. Barnabas says, I do. I'm going to encourage him. That young man would go on to write the book of Mark. I'd say he did all right. You know, we look at Apollos. He was an eloquent speaker, wasn't he? Bible says he was. He was a powerful speaker. Paul was a fiery and fearless teacher. He'd take anybody on anywhere with no fear. Aquila and Priscilla were teachers. Peter was an elder and a preacher. Dorcas was caring for those in need. Mark struggled with commitment, but would end, as we just said, writing one of the gospel accounts. They all had an ability. They all had abilities that God used. These people lived up to what God gave them. He gave them talents. He gave them opportunities. And they used them for the honor and glory of God. God has given each of us abilities. He will give us opportunity. The question this morning is, what will we do with our talents when God provides the opportunities? For the Bible is filled with individuals that took opportunity and their talents and made the most for God. Those are people that we find in Hebrews chapter 11. Hall of Faith. I pray that each of us make the most of these things in order to serve the purposes of God. Second, each eye in this church team must take the responsibility to expand their talents in order to grow and do more for the Lord. You know, in baseball, sometimes you'll have a player come up and he's doing really good. Maybe he's batting really good, right? He's really just swinging a hot bat, and they want to put him on a team, but they already have a superstar at the position he's at, right? And he may have been playing that position ever since he started back in Little League. But if he wants to be on the big league team, right, if he wants to play every day, he's going to have to expand his abilities, isn't he? He's going to have to go out here. He's got to learn to play second base or maybe right field. He's going to have to learn to play another position if he wants to be in, because he's not going to replace the superstar. We see that all the time in the sports world, even in football to some degree, in other sports as well. People learn new things in order to fit and to make the team even better. And we need to continue to learn more things. You know, in the parable of the talent, God gives. He gives those talents. And I understand that talents, that word, and we sometimes get those all confused. Talents, there's actual money in the parable. But, it's still the same thing. God gives us things. He blesses us with things. And He expects us to take those things, use them for Him, and multiply them. And what He has given to us in abilities, He expects us to use those things and to multiply them for Him. And He rewards those that use and multiply what He has given to them, and He does not those that do not. People that bury their talents, bury their abilities, and do not use them to bring honor and glory to Him. You know, we talk about these abilities we're given, there are things that are easy for us, and there are things that we have to work hard to achieve. Not everything is natural talent, is it? You know, we go to school and we learn things, and there's things that we don't necessarily have natural talent for. But maybe our job requires it. And over time, we develop an ability to do whatever that is. And it wasn't necessarily natural for us, but through hard work, we developed it. I'm a public speaker. I don't know how many sermons I've preached, way up into the thousands by now. Stood before a lot of people. And that is the vast majority of what I do in regards to teaching. But I was not necessarily given a natural talent to do it. You know, in fact, as a child, I had a bad speech impediment. And I'm not just talking about the speech impediments that children develop. My brain does not hear T's and L's. Just doesn't. And so as I grew up, I did not ever say T or L because I didn't hear them. I heard them, but my brain didn't register. So I had to spend 2 years going to Le Bonheur Hospital, Children's Hospital, in therapy to mechanically learn to say T's and L's. And yet now I've spent my adult life in the speaking business. Right? Maybe it's a subconscious reason I married a speech pathologist. I don't know. I spent so much time at 6 and 7 years old in that. See, there was a work involved to be able to, I literally now do something that my brain doesn't even recognize. And it took work. I can't tell you how much peanut butter I had to lick off the top of my lip up here to learn to use my tongue to say T and L. Oh, there you go. Peanut butter. Of course, I like peanut butter, so that wasn't so bad. You know, that has been the center of almost 28 years of teaching and preaching. And yet subconsciously, our brain still doesn't hear those things. So it's not always a natural talent, but maybe it's a talent we've worked at and been able to achieve. We need to work to be more than we think we can. My children have shown me, have said they want to do things, and I kind of doubted whether they could do them or not. And they have shown me over and over and over that they can, to the point now I don't doubt anymore. I don't doubt what they can do. They want to do it. I believe they can do it. Because they've shown me that over and over and over again. Let me tell you why, folks. If you want to be more for the Lord, you can be more for the Lord. If you want to be more for the Lord, you can give more and work harder, and you will be more. He will bless you in that effort. Paul continuously admonished young Timothy to work hard to overcome his difficulties in order to fight the good fight of Jesus Christ. Timothy was ready to quit. He was worn down. He was sick. Paul keeps going, you've got to keep pushing. You've got to learn how to deal with these things. You've got to expand your abilities so that you can be the good soldier of God. John Mark overcame that rocky start to be, as Paul said at the end of his life, you're of use to me. When Paul, after that missionary journey, said, I have nothing to do with him. In fact, had a huge argument with Barnabas. No small contention, as the Bible says. He had a huge argument, but at the end of his life, Paul says, you bring John Mark to me, I have a use for him. See, Mark had expanded himself. He had worked hard to become a useful and productive member of the Lord's church. Most of the apostles were uneducated men with little or no credentials, and yet with God and faith, they changed the world with their efforts. And we can be more than we are today if we work to expand our abilities in order to serve God in greater ways than we ever have. And we ever have before as a simple I in this team of the Lord's church. That I understand I've got to do that for me so that God's people can be blessed. So that God's purposes will be accomplished. Last of all, each I in the church team, in this church team, must put aside all selfishness through agape love in order to be an I that is truly a part of this family and of this team. The hardest part of being an I on a team is overcoming the selfishness that destroys our being an integral and productive part of the team. This is why the saying was created, because there are those that are here for them. There are people sitting in auditoriums and churches all over to this morning that are only there for what they're going to get out of it. They're only there and asking, what's in it for me? Instead of asking, what can I do for God? What more can I accomplish for Him? I don't care how old you are. You need to endeavor to do more tomorrow than you do. I don't care how young you are. Don't wait. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day to serve God. Don't wait till you're in your 20s or till you're out of college or till you've whatever. Begin today and make today better than yesterday and tomorrow better than today. You know, Ananias and Sapphira are the primary example in the New Testament of those who let selfishness get before the team, right? Get before the Lord's church. And they even cloaked their selfishness in good works, and people can do that. They love to hear people talk about them, and they do good works, but they don't do it for the right reasons. Jesus talked about our motives, right? Why we do what we do. But Ananias and Sapphira, they had a selfishness about them. And as a result of it, they were punished by God. We cannot fool God in those things. Ephesians chapter 4, going back there, Paul says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Unity in the faith. Talk about unity and people are like, well, we're talking about getting along. No, we're not. Well, we are. But that's not really what we're focusing on. If we take care of what it really is, getting along is not a problem. Unity in the faith is unity in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Unity of the truth. There are not 100 different truths out there. There is one, and we're either unified in that, or we're not the Lord's church. It is a great responsibility to know whether we are in that truth. We're going to have to work at it. We're going to have to study. And we're going to have to know God's Word. That's where unity of faith comes. Not in us just deciding, hey, let's get along. I've known churches that didn't agree on nothing. They said, well, we're going to split, but we still like each other. That's not unity in the faith. You don't believe, you believe two very different things. You're saying two things are true that are diametrically opposed. That doesn't work. You can't have that. That's not even logical. Next year's theme, based in this, next year's theme for the congregation here will be in my mind and on my heart, being people of the Word. That's what we're called to be. And most of my lessons, the vast majority of my lessons next year will be expository lessons, where we will take texts, particular verses or group of verses and study those. But that theme comes from Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10, where God says, I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And that's a quote of Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33. We're going to focus on God's Word that makes us His people, and makes Him our God. For that's the only way that happens. Why? So we can be mature Christians based on our knowledge of Christ Jesus, that we seek to know the fullness of who he is, what Paul says there in Ephesians. In this effort, we put aside selfishness so that we can have the unity that Christ calls for us to have. 90% at least, and I may be going low on that, 90% of all the problems in the Lord's church are about people wanting what they want. And when they don't get it, they're a problem. And selfishness is at the heart of such things. And we need to be careful that we are not guilty of such. We have this unity that Christ calls for by having the selfless love of Christ that is dedicated fully to His will and to the saving of souls. That we are, as we've talked about this year, that we are soul-focused. That I am fixated and I am concerned about the souls of the lost. That I am fixated and concerned about my soul. And that I am fixated and I am concerned about the souls of all my brothers and sisters. We are soul-focused. Everything will fall into those three categories. You know, you've seen the old shows, right? In the old western towns and the fire breaks out. And they didn't have fire trucks back then or pressurized water, so they made a bucket line, right? Bucket lines kind of required some teamwork, right? Everybody do their part. What if the bucket comes to me and I go, I don't want to carry that bucket. That thing get me wet. It'll go buy me a slosh. Or I ain't got time. I really need to get back to the house. You know what time it is? You know, I've been out here now for 30 minutes passing buckets. I'm about done. Well, I step out of the line. Now suddenly, the handing the bucket gets a lot harder, doesn't it? Because there's a gap. It's not just, now somebody's got to reach over and go further. And every person that falls out, every person that doesn't fulfill their part in the line, makes it all the harder for the ones that are still trying, right? We stand in the line. May we take the buckets of living water to those that are in danger of hellfire, that they may drink and never thirst again, as Jesus Christ said to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. But we need to stand in the line. Do our part. Do what is necessary. And do more every day. This morning, tell you that there is no greater place to be than in God's family. Even as we compare God's family, like I said, it's more than a team, it's a family, but even as we compare it to team concepts, there is no team like God's team. Teams will step on the field today in the NFL, just as they did yesterday in college football or in baseball right now. They step on the field or on the court, and they don't know whether they're going to win or lose, right? They may feel like they're good enough to beat the team they're playing. They probably do. But at the end of the day, some of the teams yesterday were supposed to win, didn't win, did they? I tell you what. We step on the field of this world as the soldiers of Christ. There is no doubt what the end is. There is no wondering if we're going to get upset. We're not. Jesus Christ has secured the victory. We are assured of victory if only we will serve Him faithfully. This life offers very few certainties, if any. Jesus Christ provides all certainty for all eternity. If you're not a part of His family, if you're not a part of the saved people that make up the Lord's church, we hope and pray that you'll make the decision to do that this morning if you understand what you need to do. If you understand that you need to believe in Jesus Christ, you need to repent of your sins. To confess Jesus Christ, the Son of God, be buried in baptism, having your sins washed away, to rise up to walk a new life, a life of guaranteed victory in Christ, and a life where every day I grow, I get stronger, and I multiply my talents for God so that His purposes are fulfilled in this world. If you don't understand those things, if you don't understand what you need, but you're interested, we want to sit down, we want to study with you, we want to help you. We want to help you to know Jesus Christ. If you know Him, you'll love Him, and you'll want to serve Him. If you're a child of God this morning, maybe you have not been using your talents as you should. Maybe you haven't been giving all of your abilities to church. Maybe you haven't been multiplying your talents for God. Maybe you've just kind of buried yours and just kind of rode along. Dig that thing up. Get to work in the service of God. Bring honor and glory to His name by the life that you live and strengthen the family of God. You can do that this morning. You can repent of those things that you have not done, the neglect that you may have had. You can repent of any sin that you may have had and know that God is faithful and just to forgive you this morning. If we can assist you in any way, we want to do that. Why don't you come as we stand and as we sing.